The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 458. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. I will warn you, I'm a little bit under the weather as I record the intros and outros of this episode. It's probably all that warm weather, cold weather that we've been having in central Ohio. So I'm going to try to tough it out because, well, gosh darn it, this is the last episode for 2024, and I'm under the gun to get it out on time. So, I'm going to tough it out here, but sorry if I sound a little raspy. Speaking of 2024... there were a lot of highlights. In fact, dare I say, if I was to sit here and name all of the highlights that took place over this year, I'd be here for a long time. There were a lot of great highlights and things that happened with the PVD Cast this year, and I'm really happy with it, and I'm looking forward to 2025. I will be taking a week off because of the Christmas holiday. I will be heading up to Rhode Island to visit my mom and stepdad. With that being said, I kind of took the last two conversations I had in the can and decided to double them up. So on this episode, you're going to hear from Sydney Kitt and Joshua Whitlow. Now, Sydney Kitt has appeared a couple of times here on the PVD Cast because she is the head of C3. And for those that don't know, I worked with C3 over the summer to do some live streams to promote their new anthology that was coming out in September. And so her and I sit down and we chat a little bit about C3 and about several of her projects as well. And then you'll also hear my conversation with Joshua Whitlow, who is a very talented artist who actually did the cover for the anthology for C3. And we talk all about, you know, Spawn and his influences and his practicing techniques and all that. So it's going to be a packed show, but trust me, I think it's going to be worth it for you to check out in its entirety, episode number 458. But before I throw it to a quick break, I need to thank, of course, World's Greatest Comics. Look, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. They are a great comic book store. They're right down the street from my house. They have everything you need and want for your comic book collection, whether it's single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, toys, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, whatever you need, they have or they will get for you. So if you want to check them out and you're in Central Ohio, just stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they're also available on the web. You can find their website at wgcomics.com. And they're even pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversations with Sydney Kitt and Joshua Whitlow. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday afternoon. John Orlando back here for another live stream for C3, talking about, of course, C stands for, which is a great anthology. And I have another guest who will be joining me here in a moment to talk all about this project. But I want to say real quickly, thank you to everybody who's been checking out these live streams. It's for a good cause, as we've talked about in every previous episode. The money that is raised through this endeavor is going to go back to independent artists here in Ohio. And so if you're new,
this is the first time you've ever watched one of these live streams, well, I encourage you to go back and watch the other ones that have gone on throughout the month of August. But also, thank you for checking out the live stream, and hopefully you will be helping out with the crowdfunder. So with that, let's bring up my guest who's joining me. Of course, I'm talking about Sydney Kitt. Sydney, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasant couple of days weather-wise.
Oh my gosh, yes. I honestly didn't check the weather this morning thinking it was going to be hot. And I walked out with shorts and short sleeves, 51 degrees. That was great.
Yeah, I mean, it's true what they say, that the weather here in Ohio is very fickle. If you don't like it, just wait a few minutes, it'll be different. But exactly. You know, enough about the weather. We got some great stuff to talk about, and that is, of course, the C stands for anthology. For the last couple of episodes, you have been unfortunately unavailable to produce, so I want to let you go ahead and tell everybody the great news.
We have officially hit our $950 mark, so that means that all of the artists will now be paid $10 per submitted page. So they were originally going to get $5 no matter what, even if I had to go out of my own pocket. But now, thanks to everyone who has donated, we can officially raise it to 10. And we have a little less than a week left, so I'm pretty positive we can keep going and get that raised to 15 a page.
Yeah, I mean, we're what, $582 away? There you go, right on the money. Yeah, so that's easily doable, folks. That's great that we reached another level, another tier, whatever you want to call it. Everybody's getting that page rate of $10. And let's go ahead and let's jump into it. We talked just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, I should say, you and I, about C3, but let's recap a little bit, if you will, okay? What is the major goal of C3?
The major goal of C3, I would say, is just building that community that supports and encourages comic creatives in the Central Ohio area, but honestly, whoever needs that support. So we are primarily on Discord, and through the Discord, we have several channels, such as quick feedback. So if you're working on a project and you're like, hey, this guy's hair looks off, what's wrong with it? Open calls. So if there are tabling opportunities that are going on that C3 is not a part of already, people can apply themselves and get in that way. Just a lot of opportunities, a lot of support for comic creatives, and that's illustrators, writers, letterist, anything in terms of comic creation. That's the main goal, is to support each and every one of them, because artists are amazing and they don't get enough love. So we want to give them that love as much as possible.
Okay. And you are the fearless leader, as it says, of C3. So let's go back and tell maybe some new folks who has not heard the previous episode of the PVD cast featuring you, but let's go back and explain why you felt C3 needed to be something here in Columbus.
So the idea originally stemmed from me being selfish and wanting to have a group that I could continue critiques with outside of the classroom. Because I knew, you know, in a classroom, you're forced to have critiques. And I found that my art flourished with having those critique sessions. And so I knew I was going to be graduating within a couple of months. And so I got really upset. And I actually met with Jack Wallace of The Scribbler, which a lot of people have mentioned. Jack Wallace. He apparently is our biggest driver for most of the artists.
You know, if I can interrupt for a second, yeah. Jack Wallace is one of my favorite. I'm going to give him a little bit of love here, because he is my favorite person to see at a con, or just because he's awesome to talk to. He's got a wicked, unique sense of humor that I dig. Mm-hmm. And he is as passionate about independent comics as anybody I've ever met. And for him to be the vocal cheerleader, so to speak, of C3, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So, and he was wonderful. We met at the Chocolate Cafe, which is a great place. We met at the Chocolate Cafe and kind of picked his brain a little bit to try to figure out, has this happened in Columbus before? If it has, does it still exist? If it doesn't exist, why didn't it continue? And we really kind of had a brainstorming session using Jack's vast knowledge of Columbus comics and Columbus artists, and saw that, yeah, maybe we can go ahead and start this community. And I had Ohio State as my school, so I knew a lot of the creatives there. My co-founder at the time was working at CCAD, so we had that pool too. So we really just brought the two schools together, and the rest of it was word of mouth. So apparently mostly from Jack, which I'm super thankful for. Yeah.
And you mentioned the Discord. The Discord is right here. It's below us. If you're interested, anyone can join, right, Sydney?
Yep. Anyone can join. We're mostly from Central Ohio. We have some from Northern Ohio, Southern Ohio, and we have some from out of state as well. We will accept you and take you in. You just have to know that, you know, the local events are obviously going to happen in Central Ohio. So if you're cool with just an online community, please join. But yeah, we have fun around Central Ohio checking out different things.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your contribution to the C stands for anthology. You want to just let us know, because there's two, correct?
There's four.
Oh my, there's four. Oh my, I missed a couple. I'm so sorry, Sydney. I didn't know there was four. All right.
I made four single page comics all about my dog Lainey exploring different things that start with the letter C. So the first one was Lainey Eats a Cucumber, in which you get to see her explore that. The other one is Lainey Gets a Cone, in which it's a story about her needing a cone after a surgery. The other one is Lainey Goes Camping. Pretty obvious. It's about the activities she does. And the one that I'm super excited about is Lainey Meets Captain, the cat. So I had been in contact with an artist who was going to participate in the anthology, and unfortunately, their inspiration, their muse, their baby Captain, passed away just suddenly out of nowhere. So I felt it so bad. I checked in and just making sure that they were okay. And when it came time to actually making my comic, I knew it was going to be Lainey Meets a Cat, because that's an obvious C, right? But I reached out to the artist, ACY Art. That's a.c.y.art on Instagram. I reached out to them and said, hey, I'd really like to incorporate your cat in this comic, just as like in memory of them. And it worked out beautifully. They sent me some drawings that they did of their cat just as inspiration. And I was able to take those illustrations that they've done and incorporate it into the comic. And it was really fun. It was really fun to be able to share that page with ACY Art.
How is Lainey, by the way?
Oh, she's good. She's great. Oh, how old or how?
No. How is she? How is she doing today?
She's great. Let me tell you, she acts like she's starved, and she will tell everybody that she is starved. She's not. We went to the vet for just a quick checkup, and I think she got maybe 5 or 6 treats, followed by a pup cup at Starbucks. And then I'm telling you, she's probably downstairs begging my husband for food right now, as if she hasn't had anything for a week.
How old is she, by the way?
She's 12 or 13, 12. Okay. Somewhere in that range.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's impressive. I mean, because dogs, they tend to get, when they get up in that age range, they sometimes get a little sluggish and a little lethargic. It's good to see that Lainey's still as vibrant as she was when she was younger.
Oh, yeah. She's crazy. She likes to go on 7-mile hikes. And the one time we did that 7-mile hike, she looked at us like, that's it? Whereas like the rest of us were like, yeah, we want to go home.
What kind of breed is she, by the way?
Beagle for sure. And I think another part of her is with it.
Okay.
But she's a mutt. Very clearly a mutt.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's get back to talking about C stands for. So the question would be, what would you tell somebody that's thinking about picking up the anthology? How would you pitch it to them, I guess you could say?
I'm not going to lie to you. I've been thinking about this all day because you've asked all the artists, and all of the artists have said pretty much the same thing. It's a great mix of different artists, different styles. Raw, who just had his interview yesterday, said it's like a demo tape for a band, which I really liked. But yeah, I've been trying to think about another reason, and I don't think that there really is another reason. It's just a wonderful selection of amazingly talented and creative artists in the Central Ohio area who all have different art styles and different interpretations for the prompt. So it was really cool to see what people took with this prompt, because it was pretty open-ended, you know? Mm-hmm. It was just C stands for.
And how did you come up with that for the anthology? Like, it just clicked one day? You were thinking of different themes, I guess you could say, for the anthology?
We actually were discussing it in the Discord, because the previous two anthologies, we had three different prompts, and all of the prompts aligned with the club name. So the first prompt is something about Columbus. The second prompt was something about cartoons. And the third prompt, which was always my favorite, was a coalition story in which there was one single writer, and each page was drawn and interpreted by a different artist. But this year we were talking about it, like, hey, do we still want to do the three projects? Is that too much? Do we want to just have one prompt, one deadline? And people were talking about how the one prompt, one deadline would work out better for them. So we wanted to keep with that tradition, I'd say, of doing something similar to the title. And because we go by C3, I figured, why not just, what does C stand for?
So I will say right now, I think Raw has it on lockdown. He had the best answer. You know, the analogy of it's like a demo tape. That's it so far. I mean, I don't want to stir up trouble, but we still have two more individuals coming on to talk, two more creatives, and I'm going to throw it out there. All right, I'm going to throw it out to those two individuals. Come on and try to beat Raw. Come on, have a better answer than a demo tape.
So good luck.
So you know who you are. You have your homework. You got to try to beat Raw with a better analogy. I don't think it could be done. I'm just throwing the gauntlet out there.
Honestly, good luck to you. I can't, so.
So we're talking about live streams here real quick. You've watched all the live streams. Have you had a favorite one?
No, but I've had some favorite quotes. I've heard that the crowdfunder is definitely not a scam. It's only 90% a scam. I've heard that we need to do a Sarah McLachlan crying commercial where we're all just scribbling super hard on our desks.
Hey, that's a money right there. That would I mean, people would be so sad. They would pull their their wallets open and donate like that. See, that's what needs to happen next time.
For sure. But yeah, it's just, there's been something different in every single one, which is a reflection of, you know, the different styles mm-hmm. that's in the anthology. So it's really difficult to say which one is my favorite when every single one has just had something that's fun and that stood out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're at a good point right now where we could talk about the crowdfunder real quick. It is obviously for the C stands for anthology. Mm-hmm. We have reached the tier of $950 raised. So everyone's getting their page rate of $10. Got to get it up a little bit. Got to get to that $1,550 mark. And then everybody gets $15. And if anything over that $1,550 is $20 for the page rate. And as we've talked before, Sydney, on both episode 434 of the PVD cast, and also here, mm-hmm. all of this money is going definitely to the artists. I mean, I know Carl and I joked a little while, you know, a little bit about scams and all that jazz. That was just us being silly. That this is a great opportunity. Sydney's going to make sure all that money goes back to the artists for tabling fees, for supplies, for workshops, for travel, for anything and everything you think you would need. That might help cover it some, and it's a good opportunity for folks to help out.
Yeah. So the way that I calculated it was the basic things that we need to pay for. We need to pay for the printed anthologies. We need to pay for the printed stickers. We need to pay the artists because the artists deserve to be paid. And when you get your copy, you will see, holy crap. Yeah. $10 is not enough. You need more. And every tier that we've done is just to make sure that the artists get the maximum amount that they can back. Cause I don't want to keep the money. You know, the whole purpose of this anthology and the crowdfunder is to get the artists as much money as possible. Let's do it.
Yeah. Look, you know what would be cool? It'd be cool, like a neat like movie feel to it. If next Monday when everything wraps up, you get that $15.52, you get by $2, you eke over, you know, it's like, yeah, like a runner that's running the race that gets to that finish line and just nudges out the other person. And then everybody can get their $20 page rate. And it would be a massive success. Not that it's not a success already, but it'd be even a bigger success for C3.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, Sydney, let's talk about some other things real quick. And I can't believe that I kind of overlooked this when we spoke back in July. You showcase on your Facebook page some drawings of D&D characters. So I'm assuming that you are a fan of D&D.
Oh, yeah. When did we start our campaign? We started a campaign with our friend group. And the majority of them have never played D&D before, so it's really kind of like an introductory. And since I had the skills and the ability to, I decided to just draw everyone's character so that they had a better idea of what their character looked like, just a way to get them more into the game while also learning all of the, like, you know, thick book of rules that's required to play D&D.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I played D&D, but it was like back in high school. So it was many, many moons ago. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that the game, from what I've seen, just knowing what little bit I know, the game has radically changed.
Every session, I'm on my iPad. I'm on Beyond D&D? D&D Beyond, something like that. I'm on the app. I'm looking through all the spells. I'm trying to figure out, like, oh my God. There's another one. Okay. There's so much to it, which is fantastic. It's amazing. It really helps with the creativity, but at the same time, as someone who's new to it or facing a goblin or something and it's life or death, you have one health left. You got to find the right spell. Yeah, it's a lot, but it's fun.
Okay. Say I decide to pick it back up. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for me? To getting back into the swing of things.
Pick the right group.
Okay, so what do you mean by that? Can I just ask for a little more explanation?
Half of the fun is just creating the story, creating this world with your friends.
Okay.
So if you just join with random people you don't know, it could be fun. You never know. You know, okay. Never say never. But if you're there with your best friends who are acting out things, who are going crazy. Like, our one friend plays a barbarian who likes to rage but also really likes to drink. So hearing his sober drunk voice iconic. You know?
Okay.
And our one of them is quite literally playing Buddy the Elf from Elf as his character.
So I guess there's no rules against that, right?
No. There should be. It's just really fun to do it with a group of people that you're close with, that you have fun with. Not to say that you can't have fun in other groups, but I think that would definitely be my recommendation. It's just find your group.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. Do you play any other games? Are you like board games or anything else?
Video I games? Have a lot of board games. I'm pretty sure I own every single edition of Villainous,
Okay.
the Disney Marvel, and the Star Wars versions.
Okay.
Strategy games. That's where it is in this household.
Risk. Have you played Risk?
Not in a while.
Okay. Your opinion?
You know, I played Settlers of Catan for the first time the other day, and I don't think my friends who I played it with liked it. Because
Really?
I really like strategy games, and I may or may not have had a monopoly on all the steel. So.
See, I think Risk was ruined for me because I had a college buddy of mine that would love to play, but he was so like hardcore about like things, and it became no fun because he would literally mop the floor with us. Like it was disturbing how good he was at just destroying us, no matter what we did. It's like, okay, this is no fun. This and playing Star Wars Trivial Pursuit with another buddy of mine who literally knew stuff that I'm like, he answered before he finished the question. In A New Hope, oh, Uncle Owen. What? Wait a minute, I'm not even done with the question. And damn it, you got it right too. How did you do that? Like, so yeah, we didn't like playing Star Wars Trivial Pursuit with that him either. But anyways.
But at bar trivia, take him there and get your money.
Yeah,
Get your free
absolutely.
beer. That was me. They took me to a Disney trivia and I got Dwayne Johnson's You're Welcome within 2 notes. So
Nice.
the whole time you're talking about it, I was like, oh no, wait, that was me though. But I won our table free beer, so like.
Well, there you go. That's all you need. You know, I haven't done trivia in a while, actually. Well, I think I did it. The last time I did it was in during the pandemic. Like, oh,
Like online
online, because
Zoom.
yeah, on Zooms, then somebody was hosting one. I'm like, I'm gonna go do that because I got nothing else to do. So
Exactly.
anyways, well, let's talk about a few other things real quick, and then we'll wrap things up. I pulled this one out because I don't know. I guess I was thinking along the lines of D&D characters and whatnot. But if you could have dinner with one person, living or dead, who would it be, Sydney?
John, listen, I've been prepping all day for all your other questions that you've been asking everybody else. And you got me on this one. Well, I know comic related, really, really want to sit down with Brian Lee O'Malley. And as soon as those tickets for CXE came out for his talk on that Saturday, I was there. I got my tickets. No worries. In general, though, I don't know. I think it depends on the day, too, and my fixation of the week.
Okay. All right. What's your fixation this week? Is that a loaded question I shouldn't have asked?
That's a loaded question. It's my birthday week,
Oh, okay.
so I've been very busy with other things. Last week was all sewing projects that I didn't really need to start, but I did anyways. So we'll see what next week happens to be. Yeah,
Okay.
I'll just go with Brian Lee O'Malley for right now because
Okay, there you
I just
go.
love his stuff. We watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World last night, and I swear we watch it at least twice a year, and it's still as funny as the first time.
That's a hallmark of a very good film. I can empathize. One of my favorite movies is a small little film that not many people have heard of, but it's Black Dynamite. Love Black Dynamite. I still to this day, I mean, it came out in 09, 09 or 08, and I still to this day, when I pop it in, I laugh hysterically like a child because it gets me. So
Has the director done any other like mainstream movies or?
No, it's Michael Jai White's project, where Black Dynamite is basically it's a parody of blaxploitation films, which I have a soft spot for blaxploitation films. I really like them. I find them fascinating, intriguing, interesting, because it's that DIY mindset, because you know that's what blaxploitation is all about. They didn't wait. The filmmakers didn't wait for Hollywood to come to them. They went to Hollywood with their film. So I find them fascinating. But Black Dynamite pokes fun at all of them, and I think that's why I like it, because it is like, oh God, yeah, that's you know there's the infamous Dolomite in the movie where you can see the boom mic in the shot. Like, you know, there's like that, you and they do that in Black Dynamite and you laugh because you're like, oh yeah, because they did that on Dolomite. Ha ha, you know.
So, gosh, not to derail, but have you seen Fall Guy?
I haven't. I've heard very good things. I want to see it.
It's very similar, kind of, just from your very brief explanation, but like the one scene that's coming to mind is that Emily Blunt's character is writing and directing and producing a movie. And she's talking to Ryan Gosling about, hey, should I do a split screen in the movie? Or is that like too overplayed? And then it goes to a split screen. And so she's talking to Ryan Gosling over the phone, but it's a split screen. So they're looking at each other. And I can have the characters looking at each other, but they're separated by the wall. It's just like, it's explaining the movie that they're producing, which is explaining the movie that you're watching. Very fun.
I've heard very good things about it. I know it's streaming. I'm going to have to plunk down a couple bucks and watch it because I did. And I freely admit, I am a fan of Ryan Gosling. I say this right here, right now. I mean, I know he's handsome. I get that. He's handsome. I get that. But besides all that, I really feel like I've watched enough of his material, enough of his content, that he is this generation's great American actor. Action films to romance to really oddball dramas. I mean, he's fantastic. He's my favorite actor.
Yeah, he's great. And I cannot get enough of him. Cannot.
I got you on that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, Barbie. Anyways, all right. A couple more questions here real quick. We'll go with one that I'm sure you're prepared for. Why is Ohio a great place for independent creators?
I'm going to repeat it because I feel like it's not well known. The Billy Ireland is right at Ohio State campus. It took me until junior year of being a student in the art department to be told that that place existed. And it's fantastic. It is the largest collection of comics, definitely in America, but I'm pretty sure they also said worldwide. Like, it is a huge collection. My comics are in there. So is C3. They purchase every single anthology. They're great supporters. I got to see Raina, Tellmiger.
I believe that's how it's pronounced.
I'm sorry if you ever watch this, but I got to see her have a whole presentation and talk, and I'm, you know, in my 20s, and there are these kids who are around me, and they're just laughing. They're having a great time, and I'm laughing because her book, Smile, came out when I was getting my braces, when I was that age of the kids. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is fantastic. All free. Mm-hmm. They do so many fantastic events. Please go. It just seems to be like a comic underground place. Not a lot of people talk about it, but it's just, if you find an artist, there's a good chance that they have done comics or know someone who does comics. It's a great place. And that's why I wanted to start the Discord so we can all put our minds together and just build each other up and we all get better.
I will tell you, the Billy Ireland, I was blessed to have a tour through CXC. Mm-hmm. And to see what they have in the vault, so to speak. Mind-blowing.
Cool.
Mind-blowing. It is cool. Like, I was like, these are pieces of original art. Of you name it, they have it. Original art that you're like, I can't believe I'm standing here. I cannot believe that I'm standing here. You know, the one that, and I know of it, but they had an original piece of the Green Lantern story from the 70s when Green Lantern was on Green Lantern and Green Arrow were on the rampage against drugs, which was a big thing because, yeah, you know, in the late 70s, they have that original, they have the original panels there. And I'm like, holy cow, this is like legendary is the only way I can say it. So yeah, I agree with you. If you have not gone to the Billy Ireland, you need to get down there. All right. Doesn't matter when or where, just get down there. You definitely need to check it out.
And you can go and also request to go see more. So if you're doing like a project on a certain creator or a certain subject, they will gladly help curate that for you and show you everything. They even have like animation cells too. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot. Please go.
Yes, absolutely. And you put up there just a little while ago that CXC is happening September 26th through the 29th here in Columbus. Mm-hmm. Check out the website. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for Sydney, but I can't do it justice to how awesome, how big, how impressive CXC is. It gets better every year. It's amazing. If you're into cartooning or art or comics, you should come and check that out as well. And all right. Well, Sydney, let's do it one more time. Let's talk about the crowdfunder just in case somebody's joining late.
Let's do it.
All right. $950 have been raised. That puts everybody's page count up to $10. And we are just a little bit away from, okay, maybe that much, maybe that much. We're that much away from 1,550, which is the next goal. If we hit that, then everybody gets $15 for their page rate. And we want to even go higher than that. We want to go to beyond 1550 so that everybody gets $20. All right. It's a great anthology. It is a great opportunity for you to help out great artists here in Ohio. And right down below on the scroll, there is the tiny URL with all the information that you need. Go check it out. It does end on Monday, the 26th. So time is of the essence. But definitely check it out. You need some good karma? Donate. There you go. That'll get some instant good karma for you. I'm not sure about that.
I can maybe not guarantee it.
I was going to say, there's no such thing as karma, at least in my humble opinion. So it's all malarkey. But you get it. Donate. All right? Donate so that these folks can continue to create great art here in Ohio. So, Sydney, with that, anything else you want to let the folks know about? Like maybe where folks can find you on the internet?
Yep. So you can find me and my personal art at sydney.kit.anim, which is short for animation, on Instagram and Facebook. Also, I'm very active in the Discord, so feel free to join the Discord. And the third thing that you can find me on is the C3's Comic Reading Club on Fable. So every month we read a new graphic novel. This month we're reading Saints by Jean Luen Yang. Next month we're reading Seconds by Brian Lee O'Malley and In the Shadow of No Towers by Art Spiegelman. Both artists will be at CXC, so we wanted to give people a heads up to read the things that are not the mainstream, what those two artists are well known for. So anybody can join. You don't have to be a comic creative. You just have to like reading comics. So
there you go. Check it out on Fable. And real quickly, I would just like to throw it out there as well. I mentioned that Sydney and I talked about C3 back in July, episode 434 of my little podcast, the PVD cast. I'm going to encourage you, go over. I'm not going to lie. The challenge was for me to come up with different questions.
And you Sydney.
Didn't want it to be the same thing. And that was the challenge for this particular live stream. So if you like what you've heard, you know, you want maybe to hear some different things, because we didn't talk about Love Me and we didn't talk about a couple of other projects. Mm-hmm. I encourage you, go over to pvdcast.com or wherever you listen, you know, no matter what app or outlet you listen, go over, check out episode 434 from July. Sydney and I talking about C3, which actually, I mean, if we're telling tales out of school, that's basically how we came up with this idea of me hosting. So
I begged him and pleaded. I don't want to do it.
No. I love doing it. And it's been awesome. And again, thank you to everyone who has checked out the episodes. And with that, shall we go ahead and get on out of here?
I have one quick.
Okay, sure.
CXC was actually watching us and said thank you so much for the shout out. You know, I appreciate you. So that was an Instagram comment, so it didn't come up on our side. But yeah, they're watching and appreciate all that we've said about them, because they are amazing and they deserve to be well known.
Absolutely. I agree with that 110%. All right, with that then, I will chat at each and every one of you later.
I'm going to interrupt my conversations for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. If you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I'm sitting down with a very talented artist. His name is Joshua Whitlow. Joshua, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I looked up on your Facebook profile and it said that you are a cartoonist, a comic book artist, a graphic designer. You wear many, many hats.
Yes. Yes, I do. So, I'm trying to dabble into a little bit of everything.
Okay. I think maybe something that maybe my listeners might be a little bit ignorant of is, you know, is there a large difference in your skills from one discipline to another?
Oh, I mean, yes and no. I mean, graphic design, for example, I think is kind of a unique thing, and it ties a lot of different things together, like not only graphics, but typography, layout, and all that. But like what I'm starting to learn with trying to do comic book art, it's like it uses also a lot of those same elements. So there is a little bit of crossing of the bridges between those disciplines, and then even drawing cartoons and comic book style, there's a little bit of similarities that I'm trying to do with my style. I want it to look a little bit more comic booky, but not too serious, if that makes any sense.
Can you define what you mean by that? More seriousness?
Yeah. Well, okay. So on occasion, I go into a comic book shop and I'm just kind of looking around at some of the more recent stuff. And In my opinion, no offense, it kind of looks a little too digital. A little too crisp, a little too clean, a little too that. But if you like pick up like a old school comic book from like the 70s or 80s, where it's got a little bit more of an edge to it, it's not perfect. Some things are really not perfect, but it's kind of cool. It's like that's the medium. So you kind of forgive it a little bit. So I'm kind of trying to emulate that. And then, of course, I'm heavily inspired by a lot of different comic book artists, several of the Image guys, so Todd McFarlane, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, all those guys, they're huge influences. I've been kind of looking at their work they did pre and into Image, kind of looking at the line work, the way they draw their characters. And I'm like, it's kind of what I'm trying to look at and teach myself. It's like I look at little things and I'm like, oh, I kind of like the way this person does this little detail. I kind of want to do my own take of it. And then I kind of just incorporate it into what I'm doing.
Okay. So. All right. Well, let's go back and start at the beginning here. Are you a Columbus native or are you a transplant? Yeah.
Yes and no.
Okay.
So I was born in Columbus, Ohio. But my parents got divorced when I was, I don't know, six, something like that. Let's just say six. So I moved to New Concord, Ohio, which is known for John Glenn, hometown of John Glenn. So that more or less became my real hometown. But then through circumstances, I ended up finding my way back to Columbus. And I've been here since 2016. I've been here for a little bit.
So New Concord also home to Muskingum University?
Yes. Yes, it is. Formerly college. It's funny because when I didn't actually go to Muskingum. I went to Marietta. I went to Marietta for 3 years and then I came here to ODU for a couple. But I worked at Muskingum for 3 summers doing landscaping. And the first 2 summers I worked there, it was still college. And then I come back the third one, and now all of a sudden it's a university, which I don't know what the criteria is for that. I just know the sign changed.
Same thing with Otterbein. Otterbein was college for years, and then all of a sudden it's my master's degree says college on it. So yeah. I'm like, all right, but now it's a university. So I can understand where you're coming from with that. So yeah. So when you went to Marietta, did you go for art?
Graphic design.
Okay. So you did. Okay.
Yep. I went there for 3 years, and then I transferred to Ohio Dominican University in Columbus. Well, you know, I'm a little bit out, but pretty much Columbus.
Okay.
And finished up there. But yeah, so I had my bachelor's in graphic design. But I've always been drawing, and that was kind of more, drawing was kind of more of the, I like to do it, but I don't know if I can make enough money full-time doing it. Mm-hmm. And graphic design was the, this could be the career type thing. Okay. That at least keeps me stable.
You know, I did not know that ODU had a graphic design department, to be honest with you. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. I don't know if they do anymore. Hopefully they do. I know there were maybe some issues on my way out, but yeah, I actually had a really good time there. Had two really good design professors.
What was your favorite class?
There were a couple. I mean, obviously anything with drawing is kind of my favorite. Mm-hmm. Even at Marietta, because I don't want to overlook that, because I had some really good drawing classes. Live drawing was interesting, where we drew some nude models, and a couple of them were my friends, so that was interesting just to do that. Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
Well, there you go. Wait, did you know in advance, or you just walk in and go, oh my God.
No, I knew in advance, but it's like, I know you're going to be naked versus, oh, there you are naked. Yeah.
Made things awkward, didn't it, afterwards?
It was fine. It's not that big of a deal. It's like, oh, okay. You got, I think they got paid like 10 bucks or something to do it. Yeah, I think something like that. Maybe five. I don't know. Inflation. I'll have to figure that out. But yeah, this literally just this, like, do a couple poses, and then we're like, okay, draw as much as you can for this. You only have 10 minutes. Okay, on to the next one. It's like speed drawing. So okay. Those were fun. Color theory was another good one. That's where I learned about Joseph Albers. If you doing the color experiment where you have like two squares that are two completely different colors, but then you put two smaller squares in the center that are the same color, but mm-hmm. when you look at them, the two that are the same color look different from one another.
Mm.
You have to look into it. It's interesting. It's because of your eye and seeing them against a different color kind of gives this weird illusion that they're different.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's some wild stuff there.
Yeah. So that was fun. I remember we made a couple of our own, like just cutting out paper, and you know, you got the old blackboard and just here, plaster them on there. Let's see who can do it the best.
Okay. Were you one of the best?
No. No. I liked it, but no, there were other people who were better. I can see.
Okay. So you mentioned that you've always been drawing, so I assume it's safe to say you are a pretty creative kid.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, okay. So I can tell you a story that I didn't know about until later on in my life that I thought was nice. It's like, oh, thanks, Mom. You could have told me that a little earlier. That's a really nice story. But I do remember, like, so I told you I was born in Columbus. So sure. I spent the first couple years here. And I remember, I think it was kindergarten. I think it was like, yeah, it was a year before we moved. My art teacher pulled my mom aside and basically was saying, it's like, you know, your son's showing some real promise and some real talent. It's like, you should definitely encourage this. And it's like, oh, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
Even from a young age, knowing that, oh, okay. I didn't think I was that good when I was young. I didn't think I started getting good until probably high school.
Okay. Well, no, that's a great story, man. Your mom kept that from you?
Well, I probably never asked, and okay. It somehow came up in conversation, and I'm like, I had never heard that story before, and I'm like 20 something years old, but
okay. Well, you talked a little bit about who inspires you, and you said the crew from Image, definitely. Is there anyone else outside of that crew that inspired you when you sit down to do your work?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot, so I'm not going to say everyone, but I'll say more so graphic design. I would say a big influence was Shepard Fairey.
Okay.
He did the Obey, Andre the Giant Obey sticker. He did the Obama Hope poster, but he's done a lot of other works. But those are like the two he's most known for.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big inspiration for me in terms of, I get mostly graphic design, but then also he was a street artist. So, and I kind of thought that was interesting, like the way he was, or the way he would kind of explain it, where it's like, instead of like spending hours on aerosol, one piece on the side of a building, he gets wheat paste and he can do hundreds in the same time on multiple different locations. So I thought that was a cool way to kind of get up, I guess you would say, as all of us artists want to do.
Yeah.
We like to have our work seen and appreciated. And, you know, if somebody wants to give us a little money so we can pay our student loan debt, there's that too.
Well, you, I think last year you had some artwork on display, correct? I can't remember the Midwest.
There was a show. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but there was a show. I had a couple pieces. I had done a drawing of Carnage.
Yes.
And I did, it was Wolverine, and like half his body had been blazed and it was in the process of rehealing. So those were both ink drawings that I did. I submitted those and they were in the show and they looked good. It was nice seeing them on a wall, and hopefully we'll see them on another wall because they're actually framed here with like behind you. But I have, I have a lot of pieces that I've been framing of work I've done, and I'm going to try to do a solo show coming up here.
Cool. Maybe. So, are you looking like one of the kind of the loft spaces in Short North, or I don't know where else besides Short North there would be any type of gallery.
So there is a place, it's called Lookout Supply. It's a graffiti street art supply shop. It's a little further down past Kosai on West Broad. They actually are having an art night tonight, but I'm doing this. It's fine. But so in the inside of the shop, so when he initially did it, it wasn't like this. It was just more of kind of like a hangout, and here's the spray paint and supplies you can buy. But he also converted it now into a gallery. So like on the one wall, when you enter, it's all white. And then seasonally they do art shows. Justin Withrow is the proprietor of the establishment. He's also a friend of mine. He also lives right down the road here. So I'm talking with him about that, possibly doing a solo show. Cross your fingers. There's also a couple other shows that we've been wanting to do. We also want to do a sneaker show. The idea being is like we would just have all these different custom sneakers, like, you know, because I bought like a pair of like blank white Vans, so I was just gonna cartoon the crap out of them, stuff like that. And then other people were interested in doing that, so that was another show we were looking into doing. Probably, I don't want to say anything. We're probably, that might be summer next year.
Well, that Lookout Supply place sounds really cool. I'd like to check that out.
Yep.
Did not. Yeah, I did not know that even existed. So again, thanks for the, you know, I'm learning quite a bit here tonight. I appreciate that. That sounds really cool. Gonna have to check that out.
Well, there's other events they have as well, but one of the cool thing is, so around the building itself, like once a month, when the weather's permitting, we kind of do like an outdoor jam, and the walls assigned to specific artists who come in who like want to paint, but we also have wooden boxes up that are free to the public. So if you just want to come and buy some paint, you know, experiment or put up a tag, you're more than welcome to.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Yeah. Well, speaking of the guys from Image, I noticed you have a fandom for Spawn. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about it. I even have my Spawn figure here. So
that's kind of an interesting topic because it's
okay.
I wouldn't say I'm so much a fan of Spawn. Like, I think visually I am. Okay. Like the character design, Clown, I'm a big fan of both of those characters, and that's why I drew them. I ended up drawing them. I just thought they were visually cool. And then I haven't really gotten into the lore that much, though, of the actual character. I know of it, and ironically, the thing that got me into Spawn at all was the movie all the way back from like the late 90s. I saw that before anything else, and that was interesting because I think I was like 8 when that came out.
I have not seen Spawn the movie in many years. It's
many, many decades. Let's just say it that way. Because
yeah,
but I really enjoyed it. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe you checked it out. Did you check out the HBO animated series?
I've seen parts of it.
Okay.
I've not seen it in its entirety. It's one of those things that I'm like, I should probably get around to doing, but I just never do.
Oh, it's on my list of things to watch.
Yeah.
That seems to always grow exponentially.
Yeah. Cause, I mean, like it did really well when it aired, which is phenomenal considering that it was essentially an R-rated cartoon.
Yeah. I remember watching it. I had a friend who either bought it on videotape or taped it off HBO because I didn't have HBO.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't have HBO. I was a poor Midwestern kid that, you know.
Same here.
You know. Yeah. You got those 10 channels on the TV. That's good enough, you know. So
yeah.
But I remember watching it and I really, really liked it. But again, it's one of those things that, like, I'm like, oh, I have HBO Max. It's got to be on there. I'll watch it sometime. Yeah. But then I end up watching something else that doesn't
exactly
have anything to do with it. So yeah. Anyways. So let's talk about something that I thought was real cool. You have random Post-it doodles. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, all my life and just in general, I had been drawing like on standard size paper or big stuff. And then I wasn't really drawing on the small stuff, but I was at work. I had some Post-it notes at my desk and I kept getting bored. And I found that drawing just even quick things on a Post-it note, I could hammer out in a couple minutes. So it's kind of cool that it's practice, but it's also like I made this little thing of art. So I just kind of kept doing it. I have a book somewhere around here of, oh yeah. My little collage book.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I literally, this thing is, I can't even go through it all, but it's like, it's just filled with various tiny sized paper art that I did.
But that's pretty cool. That's real, real neat. I'll throw it out there. Have you ever thought about publishing them, or is this just your thing, so to speak?
I mean, I'm not against it. I just, it wasn't the intent. The intent okay. was basically just drawing practice, but okay. I mean, it would be, I guess it could be kind of cool to make like a little zine or a little comic-y thing of like, this is just random Post-it notes I've made of just random art. Everyone else, try it.
Okay, there you go. So recently, you did the cover for the C3 anthology from a couple months ago. So can you talk to us a little bit about how was your process? What was your process for figuring out the layout, design, mm-hmm. how you wanted it to look? Walk us through the process of working on that cover or any artwork that you've done. What is your process?
Well, specifically for that, it started with the logo because C3 was doing their custom like logo contest. And I think newspaper or comic stand or something like that was the theme. I can't quite remember because that's, so I looked at their logo and I like kind of just redrew it in my style a bit and then outlined it in Illustrator. And then I had it, but I'm like, I wanted to do something a little bit more than just that. Cause at the time the C3 logo just has the blue text bubble in the background. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something other than just have it be blue. So I kind of came up with this idea of like, it's a collage of maybe it's like an artist's desk just scattered with various things. Cause I put like just some artwork. I put like a coffee stain for where the mug would sit on there. I think I did like a parody of the Comics Code Authority logo, I think is in mm-hmm. there just mm-hmm. for fun. Just like having little things like that to kind of give it like, oh, okay. It's a little bit more interesting. So that was the logo, and then it won, and I was like, oh, cool. I didn't know it was going to win. I voted for a different one, but that's cool to know. And then she came at me. It was like, hey, do you want to do the cover? It's like, yeah, sure. The only thing I knew is that like the logo needed to be prominent because that's kind of what they were showcasing. It's like, mm-hmm. this is like a really custom. So I decided to make that like the centerpiece of the whole thing. But I wanted to do, again, I didn't just want to put it on like white or just a color or something. So I kind of used this textured paper background, a little kind of newsprinty, kind of put it behind it to give the thing a little bit more depth than just being flat. And then I was trying to figure out how they do the title. And I think the title came from older comic books. I was referencing like 1940s, 1950s, like the really older stuff. And I kind of like that. And like the idea of doing the banner at the top and having the C stands for, but the C is a little bit more prominent, kind of has a bubble around it, and then just make it pop a little bit more. And then, yeah, I gave the text a little bit of like a, I was kind of slightly influenced by the X-Men logo. The one,
okay.
Yeah, the one that has, yeah, it's coming out at you.
Yes, so
I
yes.
I want to do something like that. Just not as extreme because cartoon, the whole C3 thing, Columbus Cartoon Coalition, that's a lot of text.
Yeah.
So you can't really get away with that. Otherwise, I would.
Okay.
I would have just flat out done an X-Men. We'll just do that. And then we were trying to do something that it never came to fruition. I guess we just didn't really have the time for it, but I wanted to have everyone contribute like a character or something, and it was going to be in the background, just kind of subtle, kind of collaged mm-hmm. over the whole, underneath the whole thing. So you have different cartoon characters around it, but it's not like bold. So it's kind of like watermarked in there, but it just never happened. So, but which is fine. I think it looks better the way it is.
Mm-hmm. It's a short cover.
Thank you. Yeah. So your focus goes to what it's supposed to go to. It's like the anthology 2024 C3, and here's the logo, and that's what. And then flip inside, see all the cool stuff.
Well, let's talk a little bit about C3. What are your thoughts on C3? And I know you're a member, so to speak. So you are oftentimes one of the experts that are talking on their live streams and whatnot. So just talk to me. What do you think about C3?
Well, I think it's awesome. I mean,
okay. Yeah.
I didn't really know it was a thing until a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. One of my acquaintances, Carl, actually, he was part of it, and I learned of it through him because I saw he was doing his own comic, and I thought that was cool. And then I think I saw him at one of the like CXCs or whatever a couple of years back at the table, like, oh, hey, how's it going? What's this? What are you doing? What's this whole thing? Because I probably thought he was just promoting his book, but then I saw it's like, oh, there's several people in this. Oh, there's a whole Columbus thing? And I didn't know that. And it's like, oh, that's cool. So, and I think after that, I just followed them. I asked to be put on their mailing list. So they sent me like some information. And then, yeah, they had I think the first thing I actually did was part of their Christmas book. I did a couple pages. I think one was like Frosty the Snowman, and the other one was a dog kicking Krampus in the face. Yes, those were my two contributions to that. I thought those were fun. So there was that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, and there was that. And then most recently was this anthology, and then the logo, and then that. And then I think I asked when I did the cover, it's like, hey, do you have any more spots available? And I think they said, we got one. So I'm like, because I was, what I submitted for that, I mean, I was just doing for fun, but I'm like, yeah, I might as well put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the remains to be seen, kind of like the zombie old person.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that was my contribution. That was just like a last minute, oh, I think it'll be fun. Put it in there.
Well, I think that C3 is a fantastic organization, as I know I might be slightly biased, but yeah. I mean, coming from my point of view, from an independent podcaster, it's if I didn't have some of the other friends and colleagues that I've met while podcasting, I think that I too would have struggled with so many things. And I can understand from indie artists, indie comic creators who you have questions, but where do you get them answered? Or you need, like we said with the crowdfunder, you need a couple bucks to get things going. There's to have that support system is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did really well with the crowdfunder for our anthology. So I was happy that we raised what we were able to raise. That was,
yeah.
Yeah. Good job. So,
all right. Well, let's talk about a couple of other quick things here, and then we'll start wrapping things up. Do you have any future projects you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how detailed I can get in the one in particular, but so somebody reached out to me, seeing some of my work and just said, hey, you know, I have this six-page script for a six-page comic. It's like, would you like to, you know, just for fun, whatever, take a stab at it? I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'm kind of working on that right now. Again, I don't want to talk too much about the story, and I've only just kind of started in it because I've never done, like, full-page comic book style layouts. I usually just do characters or graphics or just like a kind of like a splash page as opposed to like paneled pages. But so that's, I'm working on that right now. I'm also, like I said earlier, I'm planning on doing a solo show and I want to get some more pieces in, playing around with size, because a lot of the work I have right now, they're 11 by 17 or 8.5 by 11. I got a couple that are bigger, but I would like a couple more, like 18 by 24s or I think 14 by 17 is the paper size. So get a couple more of those in there, give a little bit more variety, you know. So that like I said, the any other art shows like the sneaker show or maybe any other art shows I can put my art in. I'll see what's out there.
Okay. Hey, one thing I overlooked, one statement I wanted to make, I did while looking on Facebook and doing some research in that, I did appreciate the fact that you you did that picture or that portrait, whatever you want to call it, of the Thanksgiving turkey. That was, I was like, okay, he knows about Thanksgiving. All right, yeah. That gets a thumbs up.
That is one of those random movies I saw and I was like, I mean, it's bad, but in all the right ways. It's supposed to, like, I know it's supposed to be, and it's like, oh, I love this. Because my girlfriend and I started watching a little while ago just bad movies. Like, apparently there's, like, an entire Netflix dedicated to bad. So I think the one we watched was called Philosopastor. It's about it's exactly what it is. It's a pastor that turns into a raptor.
Okay.
There's a couple really, like, it's so bad it's good moments, but mostly it's like it has nothing on Thanksgiving.
I will tell you this. Before my buddy moved to Washington, D.C., he and a bunch of other pals, we would do bad movie night like once a month. We would go to the local. This is when Video Central was still in business, which is over there on Bethel. It's out of business now, but we would go over there and we'd pick things. And every once in a while, we'd find something. Like, I remember we were like, this movie called Attack the Block looks terrible. It's really good. We were like, oh, wow, this is not a bad movie at all. This is really good, actually. But then we'd find Birdemic, you know. And so, you know, we're like, okay, the karma has like leveled out now. So,
yeah.
But we actually could not muster watching the sequel to Thanksgiving.
I just remembered there was a sequel.
And it was really terrible. We only got halfway through it. We're like, this is just bad, period. We can't have fun with this.
Should have stopped at one.
But I appreciate that. The Thanksgiving turkey. Yeah. Gobble, okay. Gobble.
Yes.
All right. So what is your dream project? So if the comic book gods came together and said, Joshua, we'll grant you whatever dream project you want, what would it be?
Okay. Well, I have a couple ideas, but so the whole point of getting into the comic book and kind of dipping my toe into it and practicing is I have a bare idea for a graphic novel.
Okay.
But I mean, it's something that right now in my head that I'm like, at this rate, it's probably going to take me a decade to get done. Because I have to improve my drawing style. I have to actually draw comic books for a bit, and I have some ideas to kind of build myself up there. So this project I just talked about was one of those. It was like a stepping stone. I have several other comic book story ideas that are smaller, so I can like start out with and get in, like, okay, I'll do a couple pages. Okay, I'll do like a full book. Okay, I'll do a couple books. Okay, I'll do a full-fledged like Watchmen size graphic novel. Because I remember all the way back in college, going back to that point, this time at ODU for senior capstone, I actually wanted to do a graphic novel as my senior capstone project. And I am so glad I didn't do that, because it's not just that I'm doing it. I'm literally doing just about everything. So yeah. I'm writing it. I'd be sketching it, then I'd be penciling it, then I'd be inking it, then I'd be coloring it. And that's, and right now I don't know if this is going to be all analog where I do it all old school and then print, or if I want to kind of do a hybrid of draw, but do the penciling and inking analog, but then do all the coloring digitally, because it would be easier to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so my dream project would be, I can tell you the title of it.
Sure, go ahead.
It's called Solemn Dawn.
Okay.
I have most of the backstory done and enough of the main story. And then if you've noticed, I'm sure you probably have, I've drawn a lot of, it's an eyeball with wings.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the characters.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So right. Izor. So, but that, yeah, so that would be probably my dream project. It would be awesome to do that, just to do it and to publish it, or to see if someone would publish it.
All right. Last question here before we wrap up. What's the best advice you've ever received? That could be life oriented, or it could be, you know, creativity wise, that you pick.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to think of, like, and it's hard to determine. I don't even know if I can give the best off the top of my head.
How about we switch it? What piece of advice would you give somebody?
That's better. I'll do
okay.
that.
Okay.
I like that better. And I think I am going to stick within the confines of art mm-hmm. for my answer here. And I would say, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the post-it notes. Don't get too comfortable in one area. And so for that, like, learn to draw little. So, because mm-hmm. I was drawing, some of the post-it notes I was doing was like 1 inch by 1.5 inch. Some were like, and then you get a little bigger, then you do 3x3, then you do 4x4. And I think somebody brought this up at one point. It's like, try drawing the same thing. And I think I'm going to start doing that. Try drawing similar things on different sizes and see, like, how much detail can you hold? How small can you get with all the detail, or if it gets larger, how much more detail can you put in it? But basically, yeah, just practice on a variety of things. Just keep practicing, keep drawing. Don't stop. Don't fall into that period of like, oh no, I'm not being seen. I think I should just give up. Just keep going, even if it's little by little every day.
Wise words. All right, let's run down where folks can find you on the internet, website, social media, any other maybe appearances too that you may have. So throw them on out there.
Well, Instagram currently still on, Whitfolio, which is basically just the beginning of my last name and portfolio combined.
Okay.
Facebook, I don't use Facebook all that often, but I have a page dedicated to my art, which is just linked to my Instagram. But I do have some people on there who aren't following me on Instagram. I started Kara, but I kind of just gave up. It was
Wait a minute. I'm not even sure what that is. What is that?
It basically was old Instagram where you post photos, and instead of an algorithm determining whether or not people can see it, it's actually timestamped in your feed.
Okay. Okay.
But and I liked it for what it was, but it's just like one of those things. I think it would only work if enough people go to it, and not enough people did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting exposure. It's challenging.
Oh, yeah. You're speaking to the choir on that one. You know. All right. Well, Joshua, with that, thanks a lot, man, for sitting down and chatting. We were supposed to chat many months ago, and just because of vacation schedules and everything else got all sideways and whatnot. But so I'm glad we finally got a chance to sit down and chat.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with Sydney Kitt and Joshua Whitlow, talking about independent comic books, C3, and a whole host of other topics as well. With that being said, I think it's about time for me to clue you in as to where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First off, you could shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email handle. You can even find me still on Twitter. My personal Twitter page is @PVDMVP. And you can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. Maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different ways where you can catch every single episode. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the number one spot to get every single new episode of this podcast. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting app search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about this very subject, I need you to do me a favor, and that is to rate and review. It helps me out in the algorithm. I don't know how it works. I don't know why it's important. I just know it is important. So if you could give me a quick rating and a quick review of the show, I would greatly appreciate it. And while you're rating and reviewing, don't forget that you can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. There's another easy way to catch every single episode, and that is through the Facebook page. That's right. Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast of the week's episode. So there you go. You have three ways that you can catch the PVDcast. That's over at pvdcast.com or through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. And of course, through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, I didn't say it at the beginning of the episode, so I'm saying it now. I hope everybody has a very happy holidays. As I will be taking, as I said, a week off just to go and spend some time with some family. So I hope you have a safe, wonderful holiday season. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.